Michelle Kwan, eat your heart out.
Farah glided so gracefully round the rink one would think she'd been ice skating her whole life, if she wasn't holding on to the hockey barrier the entire time. Blake laughed at the triumphant glint in her eyes. 2 hours ago, Farah had never set foot in an ice rink. Now she swanned about like she was a world champion. The smallest achievement, a simple spin, a tiny jump, caused her face to light up with excitement. It was fucking adorable. I'm sure Michelle Kwan's Olympic medals are trembling in fear, he teased.
They should.
Farah released the barrier and reached for Blake with her other hand. He slowed his pace, waiting for her to hit her stride before he led them to the middle of the rink. The place was all decked out for Valentine's Day. Twinkling lights and strings of pink, red, and white pennants crisscrossing overhead. A special concession stand sold hot cocoa, chocolates, and other assorted sweets on the sidelines, while a vendor wandered through the arena, hawking red roses to unsuspecting couples. An eclectic playlist of love songs that included everyone from Luther Vandross to Ariana Grande blasted through the loudspeakers.
I'm a fast learner.
Farah entwined her arms around Blake's neck.
If I tried, I could have 3 Olympic medals.
Of course. You can do anything. Blake brushed his lips over hers. She tasted like wine and chocolate and something that was quintessentially Farah. If heaven had a taste, this would be it.
You're trying to suck up to me for sex tonight, aren't you?
I had something else in mind for sucking. Farah's cheeks turned the color of ripe tomatoes. Blake chuckled. Farah was a wildcat in bed, especially now that they'd done it dozens of times. But she still got so flustered whenever he made jokes like that, he couldn't help but tease her from time to time.
Shh, someone might hear you.
Let 'em. We have an awesome sex life. Maybe we'll inspire them.
Farah shook her head. What am I going to do with you?
I can think of a few things. She stepped closer until her body was flush against Blake's. All his blood rushed south, leaving him so hard he thought he might shatter.
So can I.
Careful, Blake growled. His pulse pounded with desire. Don't start something you can't finish.
I think we've established that I can finish.
Farah hooked her fingers through his belt loops and pressed their hips together until his arousal nestled in the cleft between her thighs. His breath rushed in and out. His skin was so sensitive the slightest breeze caused him to jerk uncomfortably.
Me and you.
The student had become the teacher. Their lips touched in a sweet, warm kiss that didn't match the dirty, unsweet thoughts racing through Blake's mind. He tangled his hands in Farah's hair and deepened the embrace, letting himself get lost in the taste and touch of her. It was only the two of them, no worries, no guilt, no decisions to make about the future.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Farah's lips brushed against his as she spoke. Happy Valentine's Day. Blake rubbed his thumb over the smoothness of her cheek. I hope you're enjoying it.
This is the best Valentine's Day I've ever had. Granted, it's the only Valentine's Day I've celebrated as part of a couple, but still. It's amazing.
Farah's eyes twinkled.
You did good, Blake Ryan.
I aim to please. Blake smiled, but an all too familiar guilt wormed its way into his stomach at the love in her eyes. With help from Sammy, who got his intel from Olivia, he'd crafted the perfect Valentine's Day celebration. By pure luck, the holiday landed on a Friday this year, so they didn't have to worry about classes tomorrow. Their date started with a couples massage after their Friday test to help them unwind from the week, followed by a chocolate tasting and truffle making class, a leisurely stroll in the surrounding neighborhood, and a sunset dinner at a rooftop restaurant overlooking the Bund. Now, they were at their final stop of the night, the ice skating rink. Farah mentioned wanting to learn how to skate every time they watched an ice skating scene in a rom-com. Turns out there are a lot of those types of scenes, so it seemed like a fitting end to the night. Yes, it was over the top, and Blake didn't even want to check his bank account. but this could be the last Valentine's Day they spend together in person for a while. He wanted to make it count. If he was honest, he was also trying to make up for what happened on New Year's with Cleo, not that he'd told Farrah yet. The guilt expanded into a lead balloon. He should tell her. The secret was killing him inside, and she deserved to know. It was a stupid one-time mistake, one he didn't even remember. Maybe she'd understand. Valentine's Day wasn't the best time to bring it up, though. He'd wait a week, give it enough time between today and her birthday, so.
It's the perfect day. I'm glad things are back to normal, at least with us.
Blake frowned. I didn't realize they were not normal.
Well,
Farrah hesitated.
You've been acting kind of strange recently. Like you're here, but your mind is 1,000 miles away. I thought something was up.
Her eyes searched his face.
You'd tell me if something was wrong, right?
The lead balloon grew heavier. Yeah. I'm stressed about the bar, but it's a bunch of technical stuff I didn't want to bore you with. Leases, liquor licenses, permits, that sort of thing. Blake forced a smile. Lots to do before I go home. It wasn't a total lie. He had a shit ton on his plate. Fortunately, Landon was on the ground in Austin, which made it a lot easier to scope out potential rental spaces and deal with contractors. That didn't mean Blake was going to sit back and let his best friend do all the work. It was his idea to open a sports bar. He needed to take ownership.
I can imagine.
Farrah's face cleared.
Let me know if I can help.
Thank you. Blake kissed her on the forehead. I will.
I was overthinking as usual.
Farrah rested her cheek against his chest.
Now, if Leo and Courtney would just make up, everything would be perfect.
They're still not speaking to each other, huh? Farrah filled him in on what happened. Blake wasn't surprised. Courtney didn't take well to push back and things not going her way. Then again, he'd done something far worse, so he wasn't one to talk.
More like Leo isn't speaking to her. I think he needs space. Not that I blame him.
Farrah snuggled closer to Blake.
If someone cheated on me, I'd never speak to them again.
His heart stopped, then raced double time.
Really? Yeah. It's a huge violation of trust. If someone cheats once, they'll cheat again.
Blake had the sudden urge to throw up. Maybe ice skating wasn't the best idea right now. He needed to sit down and breathe.
That's not always true. It is 99% of the time.
Farrah lifted her head to look at him.
I mean, in Court's case, it was only a kiss, which isn't great, but at least she didn't sleep with Nardo. That would be unforgivable.
Yeah, unforgivable, Blake choked out. Fuck, 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 fuckity fuck.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring up such a depressing topic, especially on Valentine's Day.
Farrah laced their fingers together.
Let's focus on something else. Like what we're going to do when we get back to the dorm.
She wiggled her eyebrows.
I have a long to-do list. Pun intended.
Blake forced a smile as his stomach heaved. All traces of arousal had disappeared, replaced by panic. Forget telling Farrah about what happened with Cleo over New Year's. She couldn't find out. Ever.
Chapter 27. Tell me about this Blake. Farrah's mom appraised her daughter with a hawk's eye. Who is he? Where is he from? What is he studying? How does he treat you? Mom, stop. Farrah crossed her legs and adjusted her laptop to minimize the screen glare. We're not playing 20 questions. These are valid questions. I've never heard you sound as giddy as when you're talking about this boy, Cheryl teased. I'm your mother. You should tell me these things. You'd like him. Farrah grinned at the thought of Blake meeting her mother. He was tough, but Cheryl would destroy him in a second if he stepped over the line. He's from Austin. He's a senior at Southeastern Texas. He used to be the quarterback of their football team. Used to be. Farah hesitated. He decided he doesn't want a career in football. He's right. Sports are dangerous. One wrong hit and you're out. At least he has common sense. Cheryl nodded in approval. So, what does he want to do? He's studying business. What kind of business? Is he planning on getting an MBA? Did he get into any MBA programs? Is he going to Wharton? Cheryl lit up. That's a great program. Graduate from there and you're set for life. Farah was used to her mom's endless questions about her love life, but they never made her nervous. Until now. He's opening his own business. What kind of business? A restaurant? Her mom wouldn't take kindly to sports bar. She considered them low-class establishments. What kind of restaurant? Mom, you can't blame me for being curious. I want to know about the boy my daughter is so infatuated with. What's his GPA? Farah groaned. How am I supposed to know his GPA? You ask him. I'm not asking him. Why not? Because it's invasive. You're not giving him a colonoscopy. You're asking what his grades are. A good GPA leads to a good job and a good life. Remember that. That is so antiquated. There are plenty of successful people who didn't graduate college. Look at Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. Oh, I'm sorry, Cheryl raised her eyebrows. I didn't realize he invented the next Microsoft and Apple. Send me a demo so I can show it off to my friends. Har, har. Farah threw a popcorn kernel at the screen while her mom laughed. I'm just saying, grades aren't everything. Blake's smart and works hard. And I really like him. Cheryl's face softened. I can tell. I'm glad you found someone you like so much. And as long as he treats you well and isn't a dum-dum, she shuddered. Don't marry a stupid guy or spend the rest of your life taking care of him. Mom, I'm way too young to think about marriage. I'm not saying get married now. You're almost 20. By the time you graduate, get a job and date for a few years, it'll be time. You don't want to wait too long to have babies. You won't have the energy to run after them. Take me, for example. Hey, I was a good baby, Farah protested. Besides, you had me when you were 28. Yes, and it would have been easier if I had you when I was 25. Over Farah's dead body. I want to enjoy my 20s, thank you very much. Cheryl shook her head. You're young. You don't listen to me now, but you'll see. How did we get on this subject? Farah uncrossed her legs and shook them out. Tingles shot up and down her thighs and shins. It doesn't matter. Tell me what's going on with you. Drama at the association, as usual. Cheryl was a member of a local Chinese dance association that, technically, focused on ballroom dancing, but was really an excuse for LA's older Chinese community to gather weekly and gossip. Elections for their presidency are coming up, and everyone's fighting over it. So stupid. Cheryl always complained about the other members, but refused to take Farah's advice and quit. Then again, between the dance outings, potlucks, holiday parties, and weekend trips to Canada, she had a better social life than Farah. You should run for president. Huh. I go to dance and eat free food. They can fight over the presidency all they want. I have enough to do at my real job. Valid. By the way, Cheryl's eyes sparkled. Something came for you in the mail today. She brandished an envelope with a distinctive gold and pale green logo in the upper left corner. Farah's heart stuttered. The competition. Holy shit. She'd submitted her application and portfolio in early January and hadn't expected to receive finalist results until March. There was one more round after that, but still, this was a big freaking deal. She was either moving forward or dead in the water. I didn't open it. Open it! Farah raised her fist to her mouth. Her heart was this close to leaping out of her chest. reaching through the screen and ripping that envelope open. This was it. Make it or break it time. Oh God, what if she didn't make it to the final round? What was she going to do? Farah had applied to a few other internships just in case, but to be honest, she hadn't tried her hardest on those and they... You're a finalist. They probably saw right through her application. Some chic New York designer was probably poring over her application right now with a furrowed brow, wondering... Hold up. Farah lowered her fist, unsure whether she heard right. I'm a finalist? You're a finalist. Mother and daughter stared at each other before erupting into simultaneous squeals. I'm a finalist! Farah bounced up and down in excitement. Her MacBook slipped off her lap and would have crashed to the floor had she not grabbed it at the last minute. She held the screen close to her face, eyes wide. I'm a finalist! I'm a finalist! Was this real life? Maybe she was dreaming. God, that would suck. Farah pinched herself in the thigh. Okay, not dreaming. Of all the aspiring interior designers in the world, okay, America, she, Farah Lynn, was a finalist in the most prestigious student competition in the industry. She could work for her idol, Kelly Burke. Hell, if things went well, she could have a job offer at the end of the summer. This was unreal. Wild, restless energy raced through her. She needed to do something. Tell someone the good news. Dance. Scream at the top of her lungs. Something. I'm proud of you, Cheryl beamed. Good thing I didn't raise a stupid daughter. Although I can't believe they didn't email you. What is this, 1999? Are you sure you want to work for a company that doesn't know how to use email? Mom! Farah was in too good of a mood to take offense. They're traditional like that. It's part of their appeal. I guess you know better than me. Now, what are you still doing here? Cheryl waved her daughter away. Celebrate with your friends. I'll talk to you later. Okay, talk to you later, Farah sang. They didn't say I love you. In fact, the thought of saying those words in Cantonese made Farah cringe. So awkward. But some things didn't need to be said. Farah waved goodbye, closed her laptop, and ran into the hall. She hesitated, debating who to tell first. After a split second's indecision, she ran into Olivia's room and knocked on the door. Ladies, this is long overdue, Courtney sighed in bliss as the pedicurist massaged her feet. The spa smelled like lotion and lavender essential oil. Soothing music piped from hidden speakers. Half-empty glasses of bubbly sat next to each girl. It was heaven. Farah couldn't muster enough energy for actual words. Massages always lulled her into a sleepy dream state. So overdue. Olivia wiggled her toes. I've been so stressed. Do you know how hard it is to find a good summer sublet in New York? I told you, you can stay at my family's place in the city. We never visit New York in the summer. Chris shuddered. Heat and tourist central. Thanks, but I'm not sure the Upper East Side is my vibe. No offense. I don't care. Chris sipped her champagne. The offer's open if you change your mind. Thank you. Love you. Olivia blew her a kiss. When did you get the final decision? Courtney asked Farah. April. Internships start in June. Nita covered the winner's flights and housing, so the short timeline wasn't a big deal. But now that the high of being a finalist wore off, Farah went right back to worrying again. She was one step away from the internship of her dreams. If she came so close and didn't get it, Farah didn't want to think about it. So you'll be in New York? Olivia was so excited she almost kicked her pedicurist in the face. Oh my God, oopsie, sorry. The pedicurist waved it off. Meisha, it's okay, don't worry. You, me, and Sammy in New York together. Olivia sighed. It'll be the best summer ever. I haven't won yet. Farah vacillated between excitement and nerves. She didn't want to jinx it, but she could picture it already. Shopping in Soho, picnics in Central Park, cocktails in the meatpacking district. Blake will visit, and they'll go on romantic double dates in the city and take fun hikes upstate on the weekend. Even if I do, I'm not guaranteed my first choice location. Psh, Olivia waved off her concern. Of course you'll win. We'll see. Anticipation bubbled in Farrah's stomach. Olivia was right. If everything worked out, it'd be an amazing summer. Ah, major FOMO, Courtney pouted. You guys will be living it up with your awesome internships, and I'll be stuck babysitting middle schoolers at camp. You love being a camp counselor, Chris said. You can do arts and crafts and boss people around all day. That is true. Everyone laughed. Farrah sank deeper into her chair. Her chest glowed with warmth. It had been too long since the girls hung out, just the four of them. It reminded her of the early days of FEA. What are your summer plans? She asked Chris. My father says I have to get a job. Chris said job like it was a Prada bag from last season. Which is totally unfair, and my evil stepmother's doing. I've never had a job, and I don't intend to start now. Jobs are for plebeians, no offense. None taken. Whatever. Anyway, he'll cave like he did with my credit card. Chris brandished her Amex Platinum in the air. I have a $2,000 monthly limit, but I just have to give him the cold shoulder for a while longer. I am his only daughter. I'm irreplaceable. Sometimes Farrah marveled at the world Chris lived in. It must be nice. Never change, Olivia patted Chris on the arm. I love you guys. I wish we could stay in Shanghai forever, Courtney sighed. If only. Farrah dreaded the day they had to leave. She'd have to say goodbye to Blake, her friends, her favorite cafe and dimping spot, and bubble tea place. Don't think about it. You have 2 months left. Enjoy it. Wait! Courtney shot up in her chair, her eyes sparkling with excitement. Let's make a pact. I am not making another blood pact. Don't ask, Chris said when Farrah's and Olivia's jaws dropped. I'm not, Olivia grimaced. Some things are better left unsaid. It's not a blood pact. It's a wedding pact. Farrah wasn't sure she heard right. Excuse me? We all have to invite each other to our weddings, because that means we have to stay in touch for years and years. What if I don't want a wedding? What if I elope? Olivia asked. The other three stared at her. Kidding! I would never elope. I already have my wedding Pinterest board. Olivia laughed. God, me eloping. Can you imagine? No, Chris said. I can't. Weddings were the Olympics of planning, organization, and seating charts. It was basically Olivia's wet dream. So, ladies, are we in? Courtney held out her hand. Despite my foresight when it comes to Pinterest boards, and I don't plan on getting married until I'm in my 30s with a senior executive position on Wall Street and a weekend cottage in the Hamptons, Olivia warned. But I'm in. She placed her hand atop Courtney's. Farrah followed suit. Me too. She was so not ready to think about marriage. Although she and Blake would make the cutest babies. One day. She loved the idea of the pact, though. It'd keep their Shanghai legacy alive. Chris, Courtney prompted. The Filipina shrugged. Sure, whatever. She put her hand on top of Farrah's, completing the pact. Repeat after me. I swear I'll invite you all to my wedding, no matter what. Seriously? Just do it, Chris. I swear I'll invite you all to my wedding, no matter what, they recited dutifully. That's it. The pact is unbreakable, Courtney grinned. You're all stuck with me at your weddings, bitches. A wicked glint entered Chris's eyes. Anyone want to bet on who gets married first and when? Not against you. Farrah laughed. Too rich for my blood. It doesn't matter. We'll reunite before the first wedding, Olivia said. Maybe even before we graduate. Duh, Courtney said, with the confidence of someone who's seen the future. Of course we will.
Chapter 28. Thanks for your help, man. Blake fist-bumped Sammy. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Sammy unwrapped his scarf. The heat in the dorm was on full blast, turning the lobby into a scorching desert compared to the chill outdoors.
I'm sure Farrah will love it.
Yeah. Blake peeked inside his shopping bag to double-check the gift was still there. It had taken forever to figure out what to buy Farrah for her birthday, and longer to track it down. If it weren't for Sammy, he'd be stuck deciding between cliché jewelry options.
I hope so. I'm never wrong.
It was a wildly un-Sammy-like thing to say. The boys took the stairs two at a time until they reached the second floor landing.
Olivia's rubbing off on you. There's a 99% chance you're right.
Don't tell her what I got, Farrah, Blake warned. Sammy clutched his heart.
I can't believe you think I'd spill the beans.
You were going to tell her, weren't you?
Well, she already knows.
Blake opened the door to his room and shoved the shopping bag under his bed.
Unbelievable. What? You think I came up with that gift idea on my own? Don't worry. Liv won't tell.
If Farrah finds out before her birthday, I will kill you in the most painful way possible. Sammy didn't seem concerned.
You are so gone. It's adorable. Really.
Get out of my room.
Maybe you should have bought her a diamond instead.
Blake shoved the other boy into the hall and slammed the door in his face.
You're welcome, Sammy shouted through the door.
The most painful way possible, Blake reminded him. He waited until Sammy's laughter and footsteps faded before he flopped onto his bed and opened his laptop. He had a movie date with Farrah in a few hours, but first things first. Email. The search for a home for the bar was in full swing. There wasn't a lot Blake could do from Shanghai, so Landon was scoping out potential rental spaces while Blake sorted out their business registration. His stomach fluttered as he looked over the documents. Even after he created his business plan, owning a bar seemed like more of a dream than reality. Now, that dream was becoming more concrete by the day. Take that, Dad. Blake couldn't wait to see his father's face at the grand opening. It was going to be epic. A new email notification popped up. Landon. The subject line, Round 3. Blake opened the dozen or so attached images. Landon had been busy scouting places. He wished he could have been on the ground with his friend, but for now, photos would have to do. Blake dove into dissecting the layouts, the lighting, the square footage, and whether it fit what he envisioned for the space. The one with the loft intrigued him. It was the most expensive of the lot, but the upstairs area would make a sick game room. He could deck it out with a pool table, darts, shuffleboard, the works. The beer pong tournaments at Gino's were always popular. Maybe he'd use the space to host weekly bar sports Olympics. People who liked sports were competitive. They would eat that shit up. Blake was so engrossed in the blueprints, time slipped away. When he checked the clock again, 2 hours had passed.
Shit.
Farrah would kill him if he were late. Movie previews were her favorite part. He was about to shut his laptop when another notification popped up. This time it was an iMessage from Cleo.
Are you busy?
Blake's heart stopped. He hadn't heard from Cleo since New Year's. He'd thought of reaching out to her a few times, more out of hope she'd change her account of what happened than an actual desire to talk to her. But something stopped him each time. His fingers hovered over the keyboard. He could ignore the message. He was already running late for his date with Farrah. No, I'm free, Blake typed. Morbid curiosity compelled him to stay. What prompted Cleo to contact him after weeks of radio silence?
Great. I'll Skype you.
The unease in Blake's stomach grew as he accepted the Skype call. Cleo's face filled the screen.
Long time no see,
he attempted to lighten the mood. They were thousands of miles apart, but the air between them crackled with tension.
That's because you're in Shanghai.
Cleo looked paler than usual. She'd tossed her hair into a messy ponytail, a sure sign she wasn't feeling well, and tension lined her mouth. "I'm well aware." They fell into silence. Funny. If they hadn't dated and ended things the way they did, they'd be talking as often as Blake did with Joy. Part of him wished they could go back to the way things were. Another part recognized that was impossible, no matter what they'd agreed to over New Year's, before they slept together. Things change, people change, but they never change back. "What happened on New Year's?" they spoke at the same time. "You go first." Blake and Cleo looked at each other and laughed in a rare moment of normalcy.
"You go first," Cleo repeated.
She fiddled with her sleeve. With her oversized sweatshirt and bare face, she looked like she was 14. That was the year it all changed. Blake was 16, caught up in the throes of high school stardom. Meanwhile, Cleo began looking at him the way girls always looked at him. Blake wished she hadn't. He missed the simple early days of their friendship, before hormones and family and society got in the way. Regret gnawed at him. "I'm sorry for running out like that," he said. When Cleo told him they'd slept together, he shot out of the room like there was a pack of hellhounds in pursuit. "I remembered I had to be somewhere." It was a lame lie, and they both knew it. A strained smile touched Cleo's lips.
"It's okay. You always run."
Blake frowned. Before he could ask her what she meant, Cleo added,
"I'm sorry, too. We agreed to put the past behind us and be just friends, and, well, we kind of messed up."
"Yeah. Tequila's a bastard." Blake drummed his fingers on his thigh. Nervous energy zigzagged through his veins. "I've never seen you drink so much."
"I'm not going to drink alcohol for a while, I'll tell you that much."
Cleo cleared her throat.
"How's—"
"She's good." Speaking of Farah, he was running late for their date. Funny how that was the thing he focused on when there was the bigger issue of him sleeping with his ex-girlfriend while he and Farah were together. The cramping intensified. Cleo watched him closely.
"You really love her, don't you?"
"I really do."
"I'm so sorry."
"It's not your fault. I'm the one who didn't control myself. I could have stopped drinking. I could have—"
"That's not what I meant."
Cleo took a deep breath. Her eyes swam with regret and apology.
"I'm sorry for what I'm about to say."
Shit. That didn't bode well. At all. Blake gripped the edge of his laptop. The drumbeat of dread mounted in his chest, growing louder and louder until he thought he'd go deaf from the sound. Cleo bit her lip, which she always did when faced with a hard decision. He'd seen it when she had to decide between attending STU or Texas A&M for college, and when she wasn't sure whether to break up with her ninth-grade boyfriend or not. This time, the stakes were far higher than college and fleeting high school relationships. But Blake didn't know how high until Cleo opened her mouth and upended his entire world.
"Blake, I'm pregnant."
Chapter 29. Happy birthday, dear Farah. Happy birthday to you. Farah closed her eyes and blew out the candles on her cake while her friends clapped and cheered. Courtney's camera flash lit up the room, so bright Farah saw it behind her lids. 20 years old. She was officially no longer a teenager. Farah had been dreading this day for years. But 20 didn't feel so different. She had the same dreams and worries, the same tastes in food and music and clothing. The world didn't come crashing down. In fact, she was excited. She had a whole new decade to live and explore, and she was starting it off in the best way possible. Surrounded by people she loved in one of the greatest cities in the world. 20 could be worse. "What'd you wish for?" Luke said. "Nice try." Farah sliced into the cake, a massive chocolate affair with cream cheese frosting courtesy of Sammy. Her mouth watered at the sight. knowing Sammy had be delicious. If I tell you, it won't come true.
That's a myth, Luke scoffed. I tell people my wishes all the time. For example, I wish you'd cut that cake faster.
Don't be rude. Olivia loaded the slices onto paper plates and passed them around. She saved Luke for last, which earned her a disgruntled glare. Maybe what you wished for is in one of those bags. Courtney nodded at the pile of presents on the table. She perched on the arm of the student lounge couch, camera in hand and at the ready. There's only one way to find out.
Subtle, Nardo laughed. Farah, Courtney will combust if you don't open your present soon.
He was acting like a normal human being. It freaked her out. Leo leaned against the wall on the other side of the room with a smirk. He was on speaking terms with Courtney again, thank God. They weren't dating. That relationship was over for good. But at least things were back to normal with the group. Farah wouldn't have been able to take another second of tiptoeing around Courtney and Leo, trying to avoid saying the other's name. I love presents, even when they're not for me. Courtney shoved a medium rectangular box into Farah's hands. Open mine first, please. Okay. Grinning, Farah unwrapped the present and opened the box to reveal two framed prints. One was an architectural sketch of Shanghai. The other, a photo of the group at the Bund last semester. They were on a post-midterms high and had spent the night eating, drinking, and laughing their way through the city. It must have been 4, 5 in the morning by the time they circled back to the Bund. By then, the lights were off and the city quiet. Farah didn't remember what they did there, but she remembered how she felt. Like she'd never been more in love, with the city or with the people around her. Like anything was possible. Like the moment would last forever. In a sense, it did. Farah skimmed her fingers over the frame. There she was with her friends, their grins immortalized for posterity. Do you like it? I love it. Farah hugged Courtney, breathing in her friend's familiar Tommy Girl perfume. Thank you. Anytime, babe. Courtney squeezed her tight. Farah pulled herself together and finished unwrapping the rest of her presents, which included a beautiful monogrammed sketchbook from Olivia, delicate golden aquamarine earrings from Chris, a fun tote from Sammy, and a silk scarf from Leo. She saved Blake's for last. Farah shook the large box. It rattled in response. Ooh, what's this? Jewelry didn't make that noise. Maybe a book? No, there were definitely multiple objects in there.
You'll see.
Blake's dimples flashed. The sight eased the tension in Farah's shoulders. He'd been acting off these past few weeks, more so than at the beginning of the semester, but he seemed in a better mood tonight. Stop overthinking. He's stressed about the bar, that's it. It was her 20th birthday. Farah wasn't going to sabotage her own celebration with her doubts.
Open it, Blake encouraged.
His eyes twinkled with anticipation. Yep, she was overthinking. Things were fine. Farah ripped open the wrapping paper, determined to put those pesky voices in her head to bed once and for all. She gasped when she saw what lay beneath the multicolored foil. Oh my God, where did you find this?
It took a while, Blake admitted. Sammy helped me track it down to a little store in the art district. I think it's the only place in the city that sells it.
Are those? Chris squinted at the box. Markers? They're not just markers. They're limited edition Pantone dual-ended markers in 150 colors, created in collaboration with Kelly Burke, aka the best interior designer ever. They're only on sale for a month. Farah hugged the box to her chest. They're beautiful. She couldn't believe it. She'd wanted the markers since Kelly Burke announced the collaboration last year. And now here they were, in her arms. Imagine all the things she could do with them. Farah's mind buzzed with ideas. She was tempted to leave the party right now and start experimenting. Chris wrinkled her nose.
To each their own. Those markers are expensive. Leo eyed Blake. At least a few $100. Really? Chris re-examined the set with more respect. Huh. In her giddiness, Farrah had forgotten why she didn't buy the set for herself. The markers were expensive. Too expensive for her to justify their cost, no matter how much she wanted them.
It was worth it, Blake said before she could open her mouth. As long as you like them.
I adore them. Farrah set the markers on the table and planted a lingering kiss on his lips. Thank you, babe.
You're welcome. He skimmed the back of his hand down her cheek. Happy birthday.
Farrah closed her eyes, reveling in his touch. 20 was freaking awesome. She stepped away from Blake to hug Sammy. Thank you for helping, and for the cake. It didn't take a genius to figure out how Blake found out about the markers. The only person Farrah told was Olivia, who must have told Sammy, who told Blake. Still, Farrah was touched Blake and Sammy went to so much trouble to find her present. Finding such a niche product in Shanghai wasn't easy. She couldn't believe they sold the markers here at all.
It was nothing. Blake did most of the legwork. I merely translated.
Sammy kissed her cheek.
Happy birthday.
Thank you anyway. Farrah winked at Olivia. You've got a good one. Right back at you. The girls exchanged knowing glances. I'm going to bring this, Farrah gestured at the pile of presents, up to my room. You guys go ahead. I'll meet you at 808.
I'll help you. Blake started gathering the crumpled wrapping paper. Sure you will, Luke smirked.
Farrah's cheeks reddened. She ignored her friend's suggestive hoots as she swept the gifts up from the table. Come on, Blake, let's go. Maybe when we return, they'll have matured, she said pointedly. Maturity is overrated. The opening beats of Jeremiah's birthday sex blasted from Courtney's iPhone. Have fun, she sang. She dragged the last word out to multiple syllables. Blake chuckled. Farrah's flush deepened. I hate you guys. Love you too. Olivia blew her a kiss. Happy birthday, babe. Farrah softened. Thanks. For the presents and the cake and everything. You guys are the best, even if you act like 13-year-olds. She tried to laugh, but got choked up again. Oh, no. No crying on your birthday. Go put your presents away and have sex. Courtney waved her off. You deserve it. Let's be honest, they're not making it to 808. Farrah heard Chris say. Farrah's and Blake's shoes echoed in the stairwell as they made their way to the third floor. The rest of FEA was at 808, but Farrah had wanted to have her cake and gift unwrapping in the dorm. It was easier than going out, hauling the presents back to her room and going out again. To her surprise, she opened the door to an empty room. Farrah invited Janice to the pre-birthday celebration, but Janice declined, saying she had work to do. She'd expected to find Janice on her laptop, but her roommate was nowhere in sight. Farrah wasn't sure whether to be relieved or insulted. It was possible Janice lied about having work to get out of attending her birthday, which sucked.
At the same time, looks like we have your room to ourselves. A birthday present from the universe, perhaps?
Blake placed her presents on her desk and winked. Even in a simple white shirt and jeans, he caused her heart to flutter. If it is, Farrah added her haul to the pile and walked over to Blake. She hooked her fingers through his belt loops. Far be it from me to refuse. Their lips met in a long, deep kiss that drove every other thought out of her mind. She parted her lips, and he swept his tongue inside, increasing the heat until she smoldered with need. Blake lifted her up. Farrah expected him to carry them to her bed. Instead, he slammed her against the wall, eliciting a gasp of surprise and anticipation from her. He kept one hand on her waist while he used the other to unclasp her dress and bra. His movements were jerky, almost desperate as he eased the material down her body. Her nipples hardened in the cool air. Blake brushed an open palm over them, and she shuddered, an all-too-familiar ache blossoming between her legs. He played with her breasts for a while longer, tugging and twisting so expertly he might as well be in her head. Farah had always assumed this level of sexual connection and expertise was unrealistic, concocted by romance movies and novels to give the female population hope, when in fact a majority of guys were like the ones Farah encountered in the past. Quick, clumsy, awkward. Not Blake. He knew exactly what to do, and when to do it. By the time he lowered his head to suck on her sensitized nubs, Farah was ready to fall apart. Her body was a live wire of sensations, crackling and scorching hot. Every nerve ending was sensitive to the touch. Blake slipped a finger between her slick folds and found that spot. And she did fall apart. Farah exploded with pleasure so intense she saw stars. It went on and on. And just as she came down from the high, Blake tossed her on the bed. She heard the rustle of a condom being unwrapped. A second later, he was inside her, filling her to bursting. Farah clutched his shoulders and cried out. The heat surged until the flames consumed her once more. She arced up, pressing her chest against Blake's. His hands slipped down between their bodies. His fingertips brushed her clit as he pounded into her, taking her higher and higher to a place where she couldn't breathe, couldn't think. The sensations ran wild through her system, so intense and all-encompassing she nearly wept. Farah craved release, yet never wanted this to end. All she could do was ride the wave of pleasure until her body detonated, and her cries of ecstasy mingled with Blake's as they crashed back down to earth together. After 20 years, she'd found the guy who could take her to heaven and back. Farah collapsed on the bed and tried to catch her breath. "Best birthday present ever," she wheezed. Blake chuckled. He rolled onto his side and smoothed her hair from her face. "Better than the markers?" "It's close. I really like the markers." Farah ran her hand up and down his arm. Chris had been right. They weren't making it to 808. She had zero desire to get dressed and sweat her ass off in a crowded club. She'd much rather stay here with Blake in their own little world. "But I like you more." She expected him to reply with a smart-ass remark. When he didn't, she looked up to find him gazing at her with such love it hurt her heart. Not because of the love, but because of what hid behind it. A sadness that reawakened her earlier sense of foreboding. "What's wrong?"
"Nothing's wrong." Blake played with the ends of her hair. "How does 20 feel?"
"It's fine, and don't change the subject. Something's wrong. I can feel it." Farah propped herself up on her elbow so that they were at eye level. "Is it your dad?"
"No. I'm stressed about the bar, that's all. There's so much left to do."
He'd said that the last time she brought up his strange behavior. She believed him then. She wasn't sure she believed him now.
"Let's talk about something else. I don't want to be a downer on your birthday."
"You can talk to me about anything, anytime. You know that." There it was. That melancholy that shouldn't have been there.
"Have I told you how much I love you?"
Farah smiled, even as her heart clenched with unease. "You might have mentioned it once or twice, but I wouldn't mind hearing it again."
"Well, I do. I love you so, so much."
Blake cupped her cheek. She detected a slight shake in his hand.
"Never forget that."
"I won't." She leaned in for a kiss.
"Farah."
The fierceness in his voice startled her.
"I mean it. No matter what happens, never forget how much I love you."
Blake's eyes darkened with emotion.
"I'm totally, completely, 100% in love with you. I always will be."
A lump formed in Farah's throat. "I know,"
she said softly. I'm totally, completely, 100% in love with you too. She examined his face, searching for answers to a question she didn't know. Are you sure everything's okay, besides the stress over the bar? Blake laced his fingers through hers with his free hand and squeezed like he was holding on for dear life.
We don't have a lot of time left.
No, they didn't. They had 8 weeks. 8 weeks, 54 days, and 1,096 hours before they had to re-enter reality. But they didn't have to do it now. We have plenty, Farah returned his squeeze. We have tonight. Blake and Farah kissed again, a deep, searching, passionate kiss that gave her everything her romantic side wanted. Farah lost herself in the embrace, letting it sweep aside her worries, and the little voice inside her telling her that this kiss, loving and tender though it may be, was also the type of kiss you gave someone right before you said goodbye.
Chapter 30. 2 weeks later. Blake signaled for his check. The end zone was his refuge these days. No one in FEA knew about this place, which meant he could wallow in self-pity and peace. The bartender brought the bill. It wasn't Mina, who left Shanghai months ago. She sent him a short text before she left, and that was that. Honestly, their short-lived fling seemed like it happened a lifetime ago. Blake tossed back the rest of his whiskey and scribbled his signature. On the wall, the clock ticked toward 6. The group had 6:30 dinner reservations at some hot new restaurant Olivia picked out. Farah texted him the invite. He didn't reply.
See you tomorrow, the bartender said.
Blake nodded. He shouldered his way through the happy hour crowd and stepped outside. Spring had arrived in Shanghai, and the city burst with color and sunshine. Given Blake's mood, it may as well be gray and storming. 2 weeks. 2 weeks of avoiding Farah and making excuses about why he couldn't hang out. 2 weeks of not seeing her, touching her, hearing her laugh. 2 weeks of hell. Blake had to tell her about Cleo. He'd told himself to wait until after her birthday, but every time he tried to get the words out, they stuck in his throat like splintered glass, cutting him open from the inside until he couldn't speak at all. He tapped his Metro card on the reader, so lost in his thoughts he barely registered the rush hour traffic streaming around him. Office workers, families, and students crowded into the station, their chatter so loud it sometimes drowned out the PA announcements. A little girl around 4 or 5 years old ran past Blake toward the platform. His stomach plunged when he saw the train pulling into the station. He started to run after her when her panicked father caught up and scooped her up in his arms. The girl laughed and threw her arms around her father's neck, oblivious to how close she came to danger. Blake exhaled and followed them onto the train. The relief lasted 2 seconds before images of all the terrible things that could happen to a child rushed in. Kidnappings, bullying, road accidents, things no parent could control. His shoulders tensed. More people squeezed onto the train before the doors closed, packing them in like sardines in a can. Sweat broke out on his forehead. Blake wasn't ready for any of this. Not to go back to the dorm, not to tell Farah the truth, and certainly not to be a freaking father. He was 22, for Christ's sakes. Cleo was 20. They had no clue what they were doing. Blake didn't know how to change a diaper or soothe a baby to sleep. What if he messed up and ruined the kid for life? How could he be responsible for another human being when he couldn't get his own life together? The sweat intensified. Jesus, it was a sauna in here. The woman next to Blake scooted away from him. No doubt she saw how sick he looked and worried he might throw up on her. It was a valid fear. Blake's head pounded, sharp and heavy. He could ask his mom for help. He'd told her about Cleo's pregnancy a few days after Cleo broke the news, ripped the band-aid off and all that. Once she got over her shock, Helen had been ecstatic. She wanted grandbabies more than anything, and she loved Cleo.
She'd never hid her desire for Blake and Cleo to marry and settle down one day. Now her dreams had come true, albeit earlier than expected. Blake's father, not so happy. If it weren't for Helen, he would have disowned Blake on the spot. In his eyes, this latest bombshell proved once and for all what a fuck-up his son was. He was right. Ever since Blake quit football, his life had spiraled into a hopeless mess. His relationship with Farrah was the one good thing to come out of it, and he was about to lose that, too. The train rolled to a stop at the SFSU station. Blake shoved his way out, ignoring the other passengers' protests and dirty looks. He took the stairs two at a time until he reached the street level and gulped in a lungful of cool, fresh air. The claustrophobia eased. The anxiety didn't. As he walked toward the dorm, Blake ran through scenarios of how to break up with Farrah. Should he tell her about Cleo at all?
It was only a kiss, which isn't great, but at least she didn't sleep with Nardo. That would be unforgivable.
Farrah's words from Valentine's Day haunted him. It was stupid because he was going to lose her either way, but he didn't want her thinking he'd done the one thing she deemed unforgivable. So what the hell should he tell her? Blake entered FEA's lobby and beelined for the stairs. His head pounded with indecision. He needed one more night to figure out how to end things with Farrah. He knew he was dragging out the inevitable. He had to let Farrah go. It didn't matter if it happened tomorrow or 2 months from now. It'd crush him all the same. But for now, he had one more...
Hey!
Blake stopped in his tracks. Farrah stood outside his door, arms crossed. She wore a frown and her favorite sheep pajamas. Blake's lips tugged up into a brief smile before it disappeared.
We should talk.
So much for one more night. He swallowed and jerked out a nod. He couldn't put it off any longer. There was no tomorrow. Time was up.
Chapter 31. Goosebumps peppered Farrah's skin. She rubbed her arms and shivered from a combination of cold and dread. You didn't go to dinner. Blake unlocked his door, shoulders tense and jaw set. No. Farrah followed him inside and sat down on the empty bed opposite his. Normally, she would have curled up in Blake's bed and waited for him to join her. But that no longer felt right. Blake shoved his wallet in a drawer and tidied the books on his desk. He centered his laptop and lined up his pencils until they sat parallel to each other. Only then did he sit across from Farrah. His face shuddered. Only a few feet separated them, but they may as well be sitting on opposite sides of a canyon. Farrah's trouble radar inched closer to the danger zone. We haven't talked in a while. After her birthday, Blake disappeared off the map. He stopped going out, ate without the group, and answered her texts and invitations with curt excuses. She couldn't find him in his room, or if he was there, he didn't answer the door. Farrah tried to wait it out. If Blake needed time alone to sort out personal issues, she respected that. She would have preferred more communication, but everyone handled problems their own way. However, they were entering the third week of incommunicado Blake, and she'd reached the end of her patience. Every second they had left in Shanghai counted, and they'd wasted millions of seconds. Enough was enough. She wanted answers. Blake rested his forearms on his knees and clasped his hands together. He stared at the floor like it was the most fascinating thing he'd ever seen.
I've been busy.
Farrah resisted the urge to throw a pillow at him. With?
Classes, bar plans, that sort of thing.
That old refrain again. He sounded like a broken record. Anger sharpened Farrah's senses. She was tired of the excuses, of the uncertainty, and of feeling like crap because her boyfriend went AWOL. She wanted to know what the fuck was going on. You'll have to do better than that. Blake's head snapped up. Pain and surprise flickered across his face before his expression shut down. Despite her irritation, Farah's heart leapt at the sight of those beautiful blue eyes, then shriveled like a prune at the lack of feeling in them. Tell me the truth. She forced the words past the lump in her throat. You can trust me. The bigger question was, could she trust him? Farah hated doubting him, but it was hard not to lose faith when the love of your life avoided you like you had the plague. Blake's shoulders hunched. Tension rolled off him in waves. He closed his eyes, and when he opened them again, they were as hard and cold as the walls surrounding them. Farah's stomach plummeted.
I'm sorry.
His voice was flat and empty.
I didn't want to do it like this, but I don't think we should see each other anymore.
Time stopped.